Welcome to the Cyber Resilience Strategy Podcast. This series is designed for the audience of the strategy and aims to bring key points to life as we seek to build a cyber resilient defence. Over 10 episodes, we'll be talking through the strategic priorities with the people responsible for delivering them. We hope you enjoy listening. Welcome back to the Cyber Resilience Strategy Podcast. I'm Dan Snape, your host for this session. Today, I'm joined by Hugh Tanton-Brown. Hugh is the head of cyber strategy and architecture, and he joined the MOD last year in September 2021. Prior to joining the MOD, Hugh was the CISO for BT Defence, and prior to being in BT, he served 11 years in the Royal Navy. Hugh, welcome. How does it feel to be a poacher turned gamekeeper?
Well, thank you very much, Dan. So poacher turned gamekeeper, that is a really interesting way of looking at it. It's really nice to be on the other side of people selling to you, developing business, which is the first thing. But also it's amazing to see the full range of opportunities that are available when we look, when looking from the inside back and the outside. There's so much to get after. It's an amazing job.
No, that's really great to hear, Hugh, and you know, again, welcome to the team. Today we're going to be talking about the detect and respond part of the strategy, but in many respects this isn't really new to defence. Could you tell me a little bit about the journey over the last 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, well, as you say, Dan, detecting and respond has been core to how we do cyber security, or yeah, good old-fashioned security, since the very earliest days of the MOD. We always had to worry about who was listening in to what we were saying. So detect and respond is not new. However, over the last 5 years, there's been a real sort of transformational journey that we've been on. You know, we used to be very focused around networks and understanding and securing our networks. So looking at signatures, what's traveling across those networks. And then we moved as a first big step into a big data approach, where we had, when we realized that we had to start pulling in more digital capabilities, and it's all about getting hold of that data and putting that data into one place and analyzing it from a security perspective. But now as we move into, you know, the next world, the cloud world, the post-COVID world, we've got to look at how we start to bring together not just the data, but the intelligence and understanding of the threat, which defense also has a unique view on. So it's now about pulling that all together and having that very much threat-led approach for detect and respond.
So there's an element of just, you know, we've continued to grow this over the years. It's been a constant before this strategy, but now this strategy helps to bring increased coherence. And I suppose from the coherence perspective, you know, how do we connect in with the National Cyber Security Centre? How do we connect in with the new government cyber coordination centre that was talked about in the government cyber security strategy? How do they fit together?
Yeah, so the key thing here is about, as I sort of explained, doing cybersecurity is a multidimensional problem now. And as well as understanding what our threats are and our attackers are, we have to work better with government. You know, we have to defend as one to take that line out of the government cybersecurity strategy. And the only way we can do that is by working, as you say, incredibly closely with the NCSC. We've got people embedded in the NCSC. We've got real good relationships, as you would imagine, in that area. But also, how do we work with our other partners and partners across government, our other departments that are out there? How do we understand what is maybe happening to DWP and what they're learning, to understand how we can take that learning and put that into our own detect and respond capabilities? So as well as the cross-government better understanding, better working we need to continue to develop, we also need to work out how do we do that with our allies around the world. Again, how do we take some of the really historic and really good ways of sharing intelligence and move that into the much more real-time cyber intelligence sharing and get that into our people who are doing detecting and respond element of the NIST cycle? Finally, we have to work much better with industry. We have to be much clearer about what security our industry doing. How do we work better with industry? We need to build security relationships with our key industry suppliers, because actually you'll find that an attack on us could be an incident for that industry partner, but vice versa, an attack on that industry partner could be an incident for us.
It's interesting how you broaden that out because, of course, you know, looking at the National Cybersecurity Centre, the national element there is key. It's brilliant to see how government is now converging and working ever closer together on cybersecurity frontiers. But the fact that you drew this out to look at our allies, looking at industry, looking at our partnerships globally. Again, I almost hate to labour the point through these podcasts. It's about this big old challenge that we're dealing with. It's huge, but I think it's good to see how we're starting to mesh together in these approaches. So it gives that strength through a collective effort that's coherent. So that's really encouraging to see. So Hugh, I think if I were to sort of turn this inwards a little bit and look within the Ministry of Defence. You know, if we're talking to leaders in those organisations who want that degree of reassurance that their systems have got the appropriate detect and respond capabilities on them, those system owners across defence, and there are many of them who are thinking, right, well, how do I make sure that we've got this part of the strategy nailed down to a level that we're comfortable with? What sort of things would you want them to reflect and consider?
So I think always we've got to get our leaders to feel they can challenge the assumptions or challenge what they can do, that they can ask questions and they can ask follow-up questions about what they mean. So, for example, if you've got a system, let's say an HR system that's specific for a frontline command, you should be, as a senior responsible owner, asking about the security risks of that system. You should be asking questions of, imagine someone broke into this. How would we know? How would we detect that? What would we do to respond to get that out? Who's responsible for looking after our detect and respond? What we need internally across defence is all of those leaders, those senior responsible owners, those system owners, to be asking those questions. And if they don't get the answers they want, feel free to reach back up into us in the centre organisations to help us roll these capabilities out to them or work out how they can build them themselves.
And I think that's quite important because a lot of the time the digital community can be, it can fall foul of speaking a slightly different language to everybody else, and plain English works really well. So being able to have that plain English conversation about security, being able to say, right, what's important to me? How is it protected? That's all great. That helps with another area you're looking at, which is all to do with secure foundations. But being able to say, right, how would I know if anybody's been in here changing anything? What would I do about it? Who do I engage with? Those are all absolutely critical. And I think, again, the point you bring out there about this isn't a one-size-fits-all. People will need to work collaboratively with parts of Defence Digital to work out the best solution, the most cost-effective solution to making this all work. So that's quite interesting in that respect. And so, you mentioned earlier on that an incident in industry can have an impact in defence. You know, what about that overlap with industry? How do we tackle that? Because there are so many industry partners that we're going to have to be quite creative, aren't we, to make this all work?
Yeah, we are going to have to be creative, but it's all around communication. It's all around relationships. It's all around exercising, table topping, thinking about, as you said, what could happen and do we have answers for that? In the MAD, we're brilliant at working out what to do if there's a fire. We're really good at working out what to do if there's a terrorist incident. We need to get better at having those conversations around cyber attackers, and we need to bring our partners and our suppliers into those conversations because now in the digital world we're in, there aren't those clear boundaries.
Hugh, as we come to close this session, I'm just curious, I'm wondering from your perspective, from your worldview, what does detect and respond mean for you?
Yeah, so I try and simplify this world that we're in, and the way I think about detect and respond, it's all about the people and the process they follow in order to spot an attacker when an attacker is attacking and then be able to respond to stop the attacker hitting or meeting their goal. So what does that actually mean for the solutions or capabilities we try to build? Well, it actually means all the technology is about making that person or that process more effective and more efficient. We, as with everybody, we don't have enough people to be able to do this without technology, and we need the technology to make our people better, more effective, more faster and quicker at detecting and responding. Equally, we need that technology to help us make those decisions quicker. So help them make that process flow faster, because that's the only way we will stay ahead of our attackers.
So actually, as you say, the technology is there to help draw attention to the right place at the right time. But the trick really is in making sure the people are well exercised, have got the right process, almost have muscle memory in how to do this and can adapt to whatever the scenario is. Hugh, thank you for elaborating on your view of detect and respond. And I will thank you for your time today as well. It's been a fascinating session, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you again later on in the podcast session when you come back to discuss Secure Foundations. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you for listening to the Cyber Resilience Strategy podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this session. You can get the full series available through wherever you choose to get your podcasts.